Hallelujah. So, so good to be here. So grateful for each of you. You can grab a seat. Just want to honor Pastor Austin and the First Lady. Thank you for the warm welcome, for being in your house and your church. That they gave each of us. We're so, so thankful. Yeah. I love your beautiful nation. This is an amazing country, and we're so honored to be here. So, so blessed. There were two friends, a black man and a white man, and they were arguing about whether Jesus was white or whether he was black. And they died and went up to heaven, and they met the Apostle Peter at the pearly gates. And they were said, Peter, you have to tell us if Jesus was white or whether he was black. And he says, well, hold on just a few minutes. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes. And he says to them, Nedewo. We know Jesus was Jewish, but I'm wondering if he might be Nigerian. Oh, I just love, love, love this home, and we do feel home. So, so good to be here. Let me open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into our text today from 1 Kings. The title of this message is The God That Answers by Fire. Father, we thank you for this morning that you are here in our midst by the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you long to meet with us more than we want to meet with you. We thank you that you are revealing yourself to us today. And we ask, Father, show us your glory. Unveil your splendor to us today. Show us that you are the God that answers by fire, the God that answers prayer. Father, we're praying and asking for a spirit of revival to be here in Nigeria and in this land. Oh God, we commit this service to you. We pray that you would speak to us by your word. You would speak to us the truth of your word this morning. We thank you and we welcome your presence here. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I'm going to read from 1 Kings 18, just a few passages here. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him, not a word. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are my God, the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Prior to this prayer showdown on Mount Carmel, Israel, God's people were committing idolatry. They were worshiping the God of Baal instead of the God of the Bible, Yahweh. They had forsaken God's commandments. And God had made it clear in Deuteronomy 11, 17, if you choose to obey God's commands and follow idols, then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will produce no fruit. The drought that Elijah had prayed for was based on these scriptures in Deuteronomy, and it was a judgment on God's people because of their idolatry. Now, Israel was an agricultural nation, and rain was essential to their economy. Now, in our nation, in America, it would be like God shutting down Wall Street to show us that money can't save us. Now, this would be a terrifying judgment, but it reveals to us how serious God is about worship. James 5:17 through 18 says, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. James declares that Elijah was a man just like us, with a nature just like mine, just like yours. And when he prayed God's word back to God, God answered him, and Israel was now in a season of drought with no rain for 3.5 years. Now, after these 3.5 years, the king of Israel, Ahab, refused to call the nation to repent, and God sends his prophet Elijah to confront him. Elijah shows up unannounced, and he announces to Ahab that it will not rain unless he gives the word. It's amazing to me that a man just like us, just like you and I, a simple man's prayer life, stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Our words matter to God. Prayer changes things. Amen? What follows here in our text in 1 Kings 18 is one of the most dramatic prayer showdowns in all of Scripture. It shows us this dramatic picture of the power of God that's released through our weak words and prayer. This whole showdown at Mount Carmel was about the God that answers prayer. Before he ended the drought, God wanted to drive out the enemy. And so Elijah, he challenges all the prophets of Baal to gather together for this prayer meeting showdown. How many of you think we need a prayer meeting showdown here in Nigeria? I think there's more angels here with us than there are demons. What do you think? Elijah proposes, now summon all Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Elijah wants to settle the question of who is the true God. Mount Carmel was called the Mountain of Baal. It was a high place of Baal worship. Yahweh's altar had been torn down, pulled down, and Baal was now celebrated there in his place. And we know that our God is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with another. He is the Lord God, and he must be worshipped. Amen? He has passion and zeal for his name. Elijah offered to meet them on their own turf. The purpose wasn't to entertain, but to demand a choice. Yahweh or Baal? It's fascinating to me that Elijah's name means, my God is Yahweh. Elijah's desire was expressed in his prayer later, so that this people will know that you, Yahweh, are God. It was God's name that was at stake. How true is this in our nations today? It's his reputation. It's his fame that's at stake. Vindicate your name. Father, show us your glory. Unveil your splendor. How else will the peoples know that you are the Lord God? Unless your glory goes before us. Unless your presence is made manifest in our midst. In the false prophet's attempts to call fire down from heaven, you remember the story, right? These men, they cried out for hours. They leapt, they danced, they even cut themselves. But when it came time for Elijah to demonstrate the power of God, he first drenches the altar with water, and then again, and then prayed this prayer. Oh, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord. What did Elijah pray? God, reveal who you are. Show the people that you hear my prayers. And immediately, fire falls from heaven, consumes both the sacrifice and the altar, and all the people began to cry out, the Lord, he is God. Listen, this is the showdown we need to see in our day. We need to pray and ask God to release his fire in response to our prayers, that he would make his presence manifest on the earth. It's his name that's at stake. Oh God, God of Israel, show who you are in Nigeria, across Africa, in Mogadishu, Lord, across Tunis, Tunisia. Lord, we pray for the inbreaking of your kingdom and your power. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Our God is a God that answers by fire. And fire in Scripture most often reveals the nature, the excellence of God. It's the revealed excellence of God. God describes himself as the Holy One, right? The God who is set apart. He's distinct. He's distinguished. There's none like him. He's other than. But when God the Holy One goes public, makes himself known, reveals and discloses his name and his nature, his character, that's the biblical word, glory. Glory is the revealed excellence of God the Holy One made manifest on the earth. Fire consumed the sacrifice. God came down. We often use the phrase revival fire. Revival is God's arrival. And he wants to come and meet with us in this house today. Israel would have been familiar with this. They were in idolatrous worship. But in the storyline of Scripture, they remembered that in Leviticus, as they worshiped the Lord, they laid out the burnt offering sacrifice. They lifted their hands and rejoiced. And then they began to tremble because the presence of God, the Holy One, fell on the sacrifice and lit up the first burnt offering sacrifice himself. And that's that fire that never goes out on the altar. Hallelujah. God wants a people that are set on fire. They never go out. They're always in love with God, passionate for his name. Oh, we need your presence today. Oh, Father, we need your presence today in our midst. God releases his power in response to the prayers of his people. One of the metaphors in Scripture that God gives us for intercession, this idea of standing in the gap, standing in the middle, is in the natural is lightning. In fact, one of the words described for intercessor in the Old Testament, a Hebrew word, is pagah, and it means to strike the mark or to lay upon. And the best picture I can give you is that of lightning. Lightning in the natural, right? It gets motivated from the heavens, but it starts from the ground up. And when it goes up, you don't see it, but then when it comes back down, it strikes the mark. Intercession is the same thing. We get motivated by the heart of the Lord, His presence, His purposes, His will, revealed in Scripture and by the Holy Spirit. It moves our hearts. And then here on the earth, we pray that prayer back up to the Lord, and it rises up to Him like incense. And if we're praying in accordance with God's will and for His renown, it moves His heart. And then He answers with a divine yes and releases His power on the earth, and things shift forever. When we pray according to God's will and for His renown, God's activity always increases. Something always happens. He matches your weak words with power, and things shift forever for His glory and for your joy and for the salvation of multitudes that don't know Jesus yet. Oh, do you love to pray? Do you love to pray? What goes up must come down. We were in Washington, D.C. recently at a prayer gathering asking God for the ending of abortion. We had some friends and we were up by the Lincoln Memorial. I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but there's this reflection pool, and then you see Washington Monument up in the distance, and then farther you'll see the Capitol building. And so we thought this is a good time to get a picture. We were here a few days early before the big gathering, about 70,000 young adults coming together to pray for the ending of abortion in our nation. And my friend took a picture. We had the five of us lined up, had one of those old Polaroid cameras. Remember those? You just hit the button, you know. You can see your picture right away. And so it lines us up and counts down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Click. And in that moment, lightning hits the Washington Monument. Boom! He gets it on camera. We have the picture. We met with one of the guys that cleans the Washington Monument, showed him the picture. He said, "That's amazing. This only happens one time a year, approximately. You got it on camera." And my sense was it was a sign that made us wonder. God was about to bring His lightning strike in answer and response to the prayers of His people. And this last year, God struck the injustice of abortion, and we overturned Roe v. Wade. Amen. Hallelujah. Can God bring justice to Nigeria and make wrong things right? He'll do it in response to your prayers. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. In Matthew 18:18-20, Jesus says to His disciples, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if you two or three of you, just two or three of you agree about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Not might be, not maybe, but if you pray according to God's will and you agree together, God will answer you. He has to. It says it right here in the Word. Why? Because His presence is in their midst. There I am among them. We have a phrase in our ministry, it's this: little keys open big doors. No matter how insignificant you might feel, how little you feel, sense that you can't really do much to change things in this nation, I can promise you this: if you'll take this little key called prayer and put it in God's hand, He will open, swing wide a big door called revival and awakening in your nation. I believe the Lord is raising up a house of prayer that contends with every other house that exalts itself above the lordship and the supremacy of Jesus. We know right now today that 85% of the remaining Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims in the world today do not know a single Christian. These religions are praying religions. And so I think the battle that's before us today is very similar to Elijah's day. Whose God is the God that answers prayer? Amen? God wants us, he calls us, our identity, to be a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus described himself, described his offensive purpose and mandate when he said, I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The ecclesia at the time of Jesus, in the days of the New Testament, was a word describing God's ruling council. It was a kingdom outpost, a kingdom embassy, a people with authority in a foreign land. Jesus was committed to establishing his church, his ecclesia, at the gates where the powers of darkness and death control the earth and imprison their captives. He would call the ecclesia, you and I, the church, by a name, declaring its essential identity to be a house of prayer for all nations. And its mandate, you and I's mandate, is to bind and loose in heaven on the earth through agreeing prayer. We take these keys of the kingdom, these little keys, and we agree together. That word agreement, it's a word that is described like, in the natural, a symphony, a mass choir like we just heard. Many different sounds coming together to make one glorious sound in harmony with one another, in tune with the heart of God, in accord, in one, as one. And that sound of agreement as we lift up our voices, what God responds to and releases his power. Do you believe it today? The house that Jesus builds sets its people praying at the gates of the Muslim, the Buddhist, and the Hindu worlds, at the gates of sex trafficking and abortion and witchcraft and other outlets of darkness. And they challenge those spiritual forces with the outstretched rod of authoritative prayer, a green prayer in the name of Jesus, saying, bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of kings on earth. The earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. Nigeria belongs to Jesus. We claim it for his supremacy. All authority in heaven and on the earth has been given to him. He's reigning now. Every inch belongs to him. It's for his glory. It's for his supremacy. Do you believe it today? He has the name above every other name, that at his name, like we just sang, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Come thy kingdom, be done thy will in Lagos, Nigeria, so that your name would be hallowed, treated, and treasured as infinitely valuable here in this city as it is in heaven. the Lord is raising up you and I to be a house of prayer that contends with every other house that exalts itself above the lordship and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. The principle in Scripture is this: fire falls on sacrifice. May we as the people of God offer our lives as living sacrifices, consumed with the presence and the power of the living God. Prayer always starts with a surrendered heart. God, your will be done. Your kingdom come, so that your name would be hallowed. And as we surrender our lives to the Lord in wholehearted obedience, we can pray and we can see the same results that Elijah saw in his day. After the Lord had cleansed the land from idolatry, it was now time to end the drought over the nation. 1 Kings 18:40 writes, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" I believe there's a sound of heavy rain in the nations, in Nigeria, across Africa, a mighty and glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the nations and in some of the most difficult and darkest places in the world. We are entering into a season, a very decade of harvest, the very harvest of souls, and the Lord wants us to partner with Him in prayer for this great end time harvest. Do you hear the rain today? Do you hear the sound today? Yeah, I know you sense it in your spirit. And even though God said it was time for the rain, Elijah knew human involvement was necessary to bring forth the manifestation. Someone who was surrendered to God like Elijah was. Someone surrendered to God's will had to set up and partner with Him for the sake of Israel. So Elijah ascends Mount Carmel. He puts his head between his knees and he begins to pray. Six times he sent his servant to look toward the sea for the first sign of rain clouds. Six times a man came back and reported, "I don't see anything." Yet Elijah continued to say, "Go again." The sound of rain in his spirit kept him in persevering prayer. Even when there was no sign of breakthrough, he did not grow weary. He did not lose heart. He did not lose hope, because God had spoken to him. He knew it in his spirit. There is an outpouring of the Spirit, a spirit revival that is about ready to break forth in this city. You've been praying for it. You sense it. But I want to encourage you to keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Because something always happens. Hallelujah. Perseverance in prayer is necessary in order to birth the purposes of God. Finally, when he looked for the seventh time, the servant reported seeing a cloud the size of a man's hand. Even before this cloud could be reported to Ahab, the land was covered with heavy rain. Hallelujah. One final lesson. After Elijah had defeated the false prophets of Baal, called fire down from heaven, broke the drought. You are just like Elijah. You have a nature just like his. That's what the Word of God says. Your prayers matter. Prayer changes things. But even after God did all this, what did Elijah do? It says he ran fast, sprinted, took off on a marathon away from Jezebel, who was pursuing him. He sits under a tree and he cries out, "I am all alone." I don't think it was Jezebel who destroyed Elijah's spirit. I think it was the fact that he felt all alone. You ever felt that way? If we're going to function together as the family of God, it's the Father's house, and we're his beloved sons and daughters. If we're going to function as the family of prayers, as the body of Christ, we need to be there for one another. Once the enemy has us believing that we have nobody, that's when the enemy gains control. I want to encourage us to walk together as family. You are not alone. You have one another. Now you have us from the nations as your family. We're going to walk with you, aren't we? We're going to walk with you, Austin, brother. We're going to celebrate the successes. Then we're going to bear your burden in the trials. And we're going to come alongside you in this city, in this church, when the battle rages, and join our prayers with you until revival breaks forth and Jesus is glorified. Let's stand. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And I'm going to close our time in prayer. Once you agree with me today, let's pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this morning. And we want to ask, oh Father, that you would rend the heavens and come down and make your name known to your adversaries. Father, you promise that you act on behalf of those that wait for you. So, Father of glory, we pray, open the heavens. Tear them open and come down. Revival fire, God, in this city. Let your presence fall on us today, your living sacrifices. Lord, we repent of our idolatry. Lord, if there's any Baal worship, God, any false worship and anything in our lives, God, we confess it today. We say, Lord, we're so sorry. Forgive us, oh God, for putting anything above you. We say, God, today you are the God of Israel, the God that we worship. We honor you. We adore you. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name, God, we declare your supremacy over this city. Father, we love you. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. I want to ask today to close, if any of you today would like a greater anointing, a greater increase on your prayer life. Maybe you've been in a place of struggle, maybe a place of unbelief or doubt. Is God really ever going to respond to me? I've been crying out and I just haven't seen it yet. Maybe you're a little discouraged. There might be some of you as well here today that you've actually been in a place of idolatry. Maybe there's some issues of sin in your life and you need a breakthrough today. I've got hope for you. God is the God that breaks addictions and delivers us from sin. Maybe for you it's not carnal sin in your life, but maybe you've turn good things into ultimate things when God needs to be your ultimate pleasure, your highest treasure. Maybe you're here today and you feel alone. You don't feel connected to the family. I've got hope for you today. God's going to bring us together. He's going to pour out his love on you today. He's going to give you hope for your future, forgiveness for your past, and he's going to give you some friends and some family to walk with, to be with you together. If that's you today, if there's any of you here today that what I just said to you is resonating, you just feel the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come forward just for a few minutes. Anybody here that would like a touch, I'm going to ask Pastor Austin, maybe some of the pastors to come up. Are we just going to lay hands on you this morning? We're just going to pray for you for a fresh impartation, a fresh anointing. Amen. So I'm going to count to five, and when I get to five, I'm just going to ask you to come forward, okay? Just line up right here. Some of the pastors, please come on up, and we're going to lay hands on you this morning. We're going to pray that God would give a double portion. Anything that we carry, we're praying that God would do more in you. I've been there in each of these areas of my life. I've struggled with being alone. I've struggled with unbelief. I've struggled with sin in my life. And so we just want to come alongside you today and pray for you. And ask God to come be the God of hope, the God of deliverance, and the God who is your Father. He loves you so much. You're his dream come true.
If you want any prayers, you're feeling sick, you're feeling spiritually heavy, you're downcast, you need a breakthrough in any area of your life, you need the touch of God. You feel that you've been going through pain, heartbroken, discouragement, weariness, sadness. You are believing God for a miracle, and you need the prayers of the man of God. Just come out. And I want all the DGOs to come. Yes. Your prayer life is at the lowest ebb, and you need the rekindling of the fire of God upon your prayer life. You've been living in sin. You want the touch of God. Pastor Jason will pray, and after that the DGOs will lay hands on you quickly, and you just go back. Have faith in the prayers that will be made over you today, and believe God for a breakthrough. Believe God for a miracle. Believe God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Believe God that the fire of God will come upon your life. But make your life a sacrifice. God's fire does not fall on an empty altar. There must be sacrifice on the altar. And may your life be that sacrifice. May your life be that sacrifice this morning.
Holy Spirit, we love you today, and we ask that you would come right now. Come, Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Come and touch your people today, your beloved sons and daughters, Lord. Lord, they've come forward. They need a touch from you, God. They're asking, Lord, for a fresh anointing today. They're asking, Lord, for your presence today. God, they're hungry, God, for your visible and manifest presence today in their life, God. Lord, we're asking right now, come, Holy Spirit. Would you come and deliver those from any demons, any demonic presence. Yes. Deliver those that are struggling with sin today. Yes. Father, I pray right now, God, for those that are sick in their bodies, God, would you come and heal? You are the Lord who heals. Touch them today. Lord, we ask that those that are feeling alone, those that are discouraged or disappointed, that you would come today as the God of hope. And release a vision of that good future that you have right now for them. You are a good father, and you give good gifts to your children. We love you today, and we pray for your fire to fall. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Father, Lord, you are the Lord that answered by the fire. Fire purifies. Fire separates. Fire is a testimony and a confirmation of your presence. Some here want you, O Lord, to confirm your power in their situation. Some here are struggling with one thing or the other, but Lord, we pray, let the whole heavens open, let your fire fall. May the God that answered by fire answer us. That the heathen will know that there is a God who lives in heaven. May the Lord appear in your situation. May the Lord touch you this hour. May the Lord heal you. Are you sick in your body, soul, and spirit? Receive the healing of the Lord. Let the things that afflict you, trouble you, frighten you, may they be rolled away. Let the spirit of heaviness be rolled away. The Bible says he has come to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You have come to the Mount Zion of God. You have come to the altar of the Lord, the place of intercession. May the anointing of God that has been resident with us this whole week, may that anointing touch you this hour. Some of you need open doors in the situations of your life. May God appear. And may the doors open. May the doors open. May the doors open. May the doors open. Some of you have been going through trials. And you are wondering. Yesterday we had a revelation of the spirit of dragon. If the spirit of dragon is hindering any one of you, stopping you, your businesses, or afflicting your family, just yesterday, a lady in the hotel said, Pastor, I don't know what my family is going through. Problems, Oliver. And she knelt down and I prayed for her. Brethren, today, this morning, you will see the power of God. Today, God will prove himself in your situation. in the name of Jesus. Father, thank the glory for answered prayers. Touch your people. Heal your people. Quicken your people. Reveal yourself to your people. Do a miracle in their situation. For in Jesus' name we pray. Can I ask the DGOs, please lay hands on them. Other pastors, please join. Let's pray for them quickly, for them to return to their seats. Just lay hands on them. Pastors, join and pray for them quickly. Join from behind. Just. Receive the healing of the Lord. Receive the touch of the Holy Ghost. May every grief and pain and sorrow and fear and anxiety be rolled away. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. In Jesus' name, receive the healing of the Lord. Receive the healing of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord empower you. May the Lord quicken you. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. May the Lord speak to you. May you experience His touch. May the Lord draw you into His warm embrace. May the Lord reveal Himself to you. May the Lord encounter you today in the name of Jesus. Church, can we pray for Dr. Jason Hubbard, who has ministered to us, and all the members of the IPC team? Can we just stretch forth our hands and pray for them? Pray for the blessing of the Lord upon their lives. Pray for their families. Pray that the Lord will cover them with the blood of Jesus. Father, we lift up your son, Dr. Jason, and oh Lord, all the IPC officials and those who attended this conference, we cover them with your blood. We pray, Lord, that your mighty hand will rest upon them. We pray for the blessings and the joy of the Lord upon their lives. They have ministered to us. Oh God, may you minister back to them. We commend them into your hands as they travel back. May you grant them journey mercies, safety and protection. May your glory cover every one of us, and may your name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And the people of God shout, Amen. Praise the Lord.